Welcome to Everything Scary at 3 a.m. My name is Mandy. With me, as always, is John.
Howdy.
And today, I am so excited because this is a movie that I watch to relax.
Yeah, it kind of is, yeah.
Which is kind of fucked up a little bit. On some bits, it's a little fucked up.
It's relaxed. Well, hell, I watched, iRobot the longest time for relaxation.
I still don't think iRobot is quite on the same level. We're talking about 2006's Silent Hill, which whenever I first saw this movie in the movie theaters, I was just telling my friend this, whenever I just saw this movie in the movie theaters, it made me physically ill. And it made me physically ill because I was not used to watching scary movies. Like, I was still kind of, sort of pure at that point. Sort of, kind of. And
that's so weird to me because that was 2006.
Yeah.
And that would have been right after high school for us.
Yeah.
So,
but I watched very few horror movies. Like, I still watch some, but not to this extent where they were, like, you know, raping people with barbed wire. Like, that was a bit
I watched Monster Vision when I was a child.
Yeah. Well,
Mystery Science Theater and Monster Vision and Twilight Zone and...
Did they have people getting raped with barbed wire?
No, but I'm sure they would have put it in there for some of the stuff.
I felt like, I don't know. Like now I'm like, okay, absolutely not the worst thing Evil I've Dead. Ever seen. However, well, yeah, that's true. However, even then in Evil Dead, they didn't show it. Like,
kind of.
It was, you know, insinuated that, yes, this did happen. However, this is like showing her getting raped with barbed wire. But either way, kind of a screwed up movie. My friend told me that she's like, oh my God, we need to get you to some British television. And I'm like, that's boring though. Like, why? Whenever I can watch Silent Hill to relax. Anyways, let's tell them about who directed it.
This one comes from Christoph Gans from 1995's Crying Freeman, which is a very interesting movie. That one has Mark Dacascos in it, and it's based on a very artistic, I think he's an assassin or something like that. Hmm. And he's it's very Glogo 13, if you get a chance to watch it. He also did 2001's Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Which we love.
Le Pacte de Lupus.
We love that movie. Which also has Mark Dacascos in it.
Yes, it's got the whip, the bone whip sword in it,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he did, weirdly enough, the guy did the live-action version of Beauty and the Beast from 2014.
Which is crazy to me.
And he also did something from one of our previous episodes, 1993's Necronomicon. He did the first sequence, the one with, I want to say that one's the one with the guy in a raincoat, the fisherman in a raincoat during the rain.
It sounds
funny. Yeah, but it's the...
We've watched 200 and something episodes. I can't keep track of
anybody trying to remember which one that one was. That was the one with Jeffrey Combs reading the Necronomicon, and there were three different sequences, and, like, the water under the
that was cool, though.
The room that he's reading it in. That was weird.
I thought that was cool. Is it directed
written.
By, oh, okay. So it's written by Roger Avery, who did 2007's Beowulf, which, what was your issue with that?
It's Beowulf. How do you write Beowulf? I wrote Beowulf. Yeah. Oh, did you go back in time and write Beowulf? That's like when somebody sits there going like,
screenplay.
I was the writer of Much Ado About Nothing. Oh, really? I don't remember you being William Shakespeare or any of the other people that people think William Shakespeare wasn't the one writing who did, but it was William Shakespeare. I don't want to be an asshole about this, but it was William Shakespeare writing that one. It wasn't you. Now, like, I get it. You know, 10 Things I Hate About You? Good. That you can give me a writer's credit on, because that is basically, I can't remember if it's Taming the Shrew or something like that, but I think it's Taming of the Shrew, which is... It's fine. It's Taming of the Shrew, but then you had to write everything else on top of it. But when it was Beowulf, and the whole point of this Beowulf movie was that it was straight up Beowulf, you can't be like, yeah, I wrote Beowulf.
He wrote the screenplay.
Whatever.
Anyways, Roger Avery also was the writer and director for 1993's Killing Zoe.
Zoe.
Zoe. Zoe. And 2019's Lucky Day.
It's kind of sequel. Apparently that was like a pseudo sequel to it.
Oh.
It was weird reading some of the stuff that he did. He apparently helped a lot on, Pulp Fiction was one of the ones that he was doing.
Roger Avery did?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then he really was trying to do Phantasm, the one with the balls that go around drilling into people.
Yes, I know the
so
Phantasm.
So apparently... he tried to do Phantasm 1999 for the longest time, and he couldn't do it. Several of his movies that he made He never got to release him due to legal complications. And then I think he killed somebody.
That would be a legal complication.
Well, it's manslaughter. The legal complications are not because he killed somebody. It was completely separate from
well,
that.
Well, damn, because that would have been a really good way for you to like bring it up. Like,
it would have been.
And unfortunately, legal complications, like murder.
Yeah. Now, this movie is an interesting movie in the sense that it's not really Silent Hill.
Not the first Silent Hill.
But it is Silent Hill. Well, it's a combination of like three of them.
Yeah. He's the first three, right?
Sort of. So it's very much elements of two because Pyramid Head became... He's from Silent Hill 2. He was not in Silent Hill 1. Silent Hill 1 was fun. Like, it was a weird, funky game with a lot of references to everything. Every single one of the streets was named after a horror
author,
writer,
right?
Or a horror director.
Okay.
So we had, like, Carpenter Street, and, you know, that, like, crossed with Bachman Street. It was stuff like that. And then they had, like, goofball stuff. There was, like, a whole bunch of different endings that you could do. If you put a rubber ball in a trap and you did a couple other things, you would see aliens, and then suddenly you'd get the Mars Attacks ending where it was, like, cards, and it was, like, showing Harry getting, like, laser beamed by shit.
What?
It was awesome.
Holy shit.
There was so many different... Oh, and that's a normal thing for them. One of the episodes later, I want to say it was either three or four, had a ending where...
One of the games?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Had a dog controlling everything.
Oh, yeah. That's cute.
It's because it was Kojima had a lot of fucking little random shit that he would like to do on mm-hmm. that stuff, and it was fun. And then PT came out, and then Konami said, "No, we're not going to do that anymore." And then they were like, "Let's go ahead and milk everything." So every new iteration of Silent Hill since I want to say 3 has had much less fun in it.
Well, apparently they're coming out with a new Silent Hill
trailer,
which I actually wanted to do.
I watched a thing on it. It's very much...
You cheated?
I watched the trailer on it. I wanted to know what the hell it was about.
Okay.
That's not cheating.
Uh-huh.
I didn't play the game. Apparently it's like an hour and a half, but it's free.
So if you
do have a PlayStation,
PlayStation 5 specifically.
Yeah, then you can definitely do it. Now, I haven't been allowed to get a PlayStation 5 by
we
somebody.
We have a perfectly good PlayStation 4.
It's not you. I'm not allowing myself to get it because I have a PC. I don't need a PlayStation. I've got a PC. I got a PS4. I'm not going to buy another PS5 until the damn prices get cheaper because come on, guys.
I really do want a PlayStation 5, though.
I'm not doing it. Anyway, so starring in this movie is Radha Mitchell.
Radha, yes.
She was playing the character of Rose, who did not exist because for some reason they had to have Harry not be, like, it couldn't be a story about a dad looking for his daughter. It had to be
the story of motherly love.
Well, yeah,
you know what I think
it
was?
Go anywhere.
Maybe Christoph heard, or whoever wrote it,
Dan's?
Roger Avery, whatever.
Oh, Roger Avery, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he actually heard the mother is God in the eyes of a child, that whole thing. And he's like, oh man, you know what? We could totally play this from a woman's standpoint.
I'm sure this was, they forced it because they're like, no, we can't have that on there. No one's going to believe that a dad would go after it. And then Taken came out and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, people believe now that dad will go try to find his daughter.
But can you imagine Liam Neeson, though, being in this instead of Radha Mitchell or Sean Bean?
Oh, yeah. I could see that, which would be really fun. Like, Liam Neeson now, not Liam Neeson back in the day when it was like
in
Rob Roy
high
or
spirits
High Spirits
or yeah.
something like that, where he's just like, uh-huh. He's like, listen, I will find you. He's like, because it was just radio
static,
noises.
Static, yeah.
But she was in 2000's Pitch Black, 2002's Phone Booth, which was the one with Colin Farrell. Farrell.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell. You know, before he was doing...
porn.
He did porn?
Just kidding.
I was going to say Daredevil. But that was when he...
But didn't he do, like, or he was like a home movie or something?
I have no idea.
Everyone saw his schlong.
What?
Everybody.
I don't
Everybody.
Know. All I know is that he plays...
You need to do research on this.
He plays opposite of the guy who was in Garda. He was in Bruges and the new one, like the Banshee of whatever the heck was the newer one that Colin Farrell was in. I love that whole show. She was also in 2013's Olympus Has Fallen.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
That was cool. We got Laurie Holden, who is playing Sybil Bennett, who should have survived if the bitch had, you know, grabbed the drink that she was supposed to, if you, in the video game, if you, like, scoop up some goo into a random bottle, and when you're fighting Sybil, you force feed it to her, she survives. Yeah. Because, you know, why not? Why not just
call her a bitch.
Grab juice?
Do not call her a bitch.
I'm sorry. Rhoda Mitchell fucked up. She didn't get 100%.
But she's not bitchy. Anyways.
Oh, she's completely.
So.
She was, our Laurie Holden was in 2007's The Mist, 33 episodes of The Walking Dead. She is the Crimson Countess in The Boys. And she is in a single episode of Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future from 1988. And the reason why that's important is it came from J. Michael Straczynski, who did a lot of episodes of The Real Ghostbusters and was the creator of Babylon 5.
Oh. Oh, wait. Yes, you told me that.
Yes.
That's right. I was like, wait, why do I sound like I'm shocked? I knew that. We also have Jodel Furland, who is playing Sharon. She was in 2019's Case 39, Aggie in 2012's Paranorman, which I was super excited about because it's Aggie. She's like the little witch girl. It's super sad. And of course, she is Patient Buckner in 2012's Cabin in the Woods. She's one of the hillbillies in the Buckner family.
Zombie redneck hillbillies.
Yes, yes.
They're completely different.
Yes, and she's such a great actress. Like, I love her. I love her acting, period. And she always plays, like, really... And it's funny because I even saw, like, the interview, because, you know, they have, like, the bonus features or whatever. And she's like, yeah, you know, I play the devil. And she's just, like, she's just very cute. So it's just really funny. And then we have Sean Bean, who plays Chris.
He's Harry Mason. I don't know why they didn't do Harry Mason. They could have had the Masons on there, but I'm like, come on, man.
That's true, because his last name is Da Silva.
Yeah.
So they carried over like nothing. These are just two random ass people, I guess.
I don't know if Mason is the last one. I do know it's Harry. But yeah, he's been in so many movies. He's the bad guy in National Treasure.
He's the king in Game of Thrones. And then I stopped watching because they cut his head off.
He's in The Martian, where he doesn't die. He just becomes a golfer.
Oh, see, that right there should be number one list, because he dies in everything.
Well, so the movie that he actually, he didn't used to.
You know, Lord of the Rings, he dies in everything.
007, he was in GoldenEye, he was a bad guy in GoldenEye. But the interesting thing to me is that technically the only thing that died in that was his career. Because he got kicked out.
Oof.
And then we've got Alice Krieg, who is Christabel. She is the Borg Queen in Star Trek. First Contact is going to be the easiest one. But I found out she was in 1981's Chariots of Fire, and I didn't know about that. That one show is about a Jewish guy and a Christian guy running in the 1924 Olympics. And it's dun 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 dun. That's where that song comes from. Chariots of Fire, never watched it. Apparently, it was a huge, huge movie in 1981. Won, like, all the Oscars. And I was never... We're like, no, we're not going to watch it.
Cool. I never knew about it.
Yeah.
We have Deborah Kara Unger, who is Dahlia Gillespie, who is Sharon's mama. Well, is she... No, it's not Sharon's mom. It is Alessa. Alessa's mom in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it gets a little funky at that point. Yeah. Since, technically... But
she was actually in 1997's The Game, which is one of John's favorite movies.
Yes, it is starring Michael Douglas, and don't look it up. All right, just don't do anything. Just go watch the movie now. Go into it as blind as possible.
It was really good. Like, I actually had not watched it until John was like, what? What do you mean you've never seen The Game? We need to watch The Game. And then we watched it. And I was pleasantly surprised.
And you can't look it up. You can't. Don't look it up. Don't do anything. If it, like, pops up and it starts trying to play the trailer, don't watch that. Just sit down, watch the movie. It's delightful. And then we got Kim Coates, the cop guy. Oh, that's
the detective
guy. Mm-hmm. In it. And he is in 92 episodes of Sons of Anarchy. And then we got Tanya Allen, who was in 2000. She's the Easy Peel lady.
Oh, yeah. She's the one that that Pyramid Head, like, just peels like a banana.
Again, so Pyramid Head's from 2, and what he's supposed to represent
when
is...
When did the nurses come in? Don't those come in 2?
That's in 2, yeah. So the reason... Well, technically. So there is a nurse in 1 where she's, like, a creepy, sexy nurse who's all up on you. But you're not, like, it's not as bad as 2, because the whole point about 2 is the guy's wife died, and so Pyramid Head is representing his, like, sexual frustration, and that's why it rapes one of the nurses in the middle of it.
Oh.
Yeah. Because it's also, why not see all these sexy nurses? Because I miss my
Isn't
wife.
Isn't that, like, his repressed sexual... And stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole point of it. But I do like that it's just, like, it's, like, rip... And then, oh no, she's naked. What's it going to do now? And then it, like, grabs a hold of her chest and twists. And then I'm like, oh, all of her skin came off.
Yeah, it just rips it off.
I don't think that that's how that works.
I don't want to test it. I don't know. All I know is that
That needs to be a...
Now it's normal. This movie made me physically ill whenever I saw it.
That needs to be, like, a really weird... And, a lot of it's just implied. Like, he does the grab, he does the tear, and then they shoot it from the other side.
No.
And he's holding the
smoosh. No. It shows him, like, really? Ripping her skin off. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have to watch that again, because we're going to watch this one.
I was like,
we're watching it right now. We're going to see it again, because it has been a while for me.
I watched it, like, last week. I needed to relax.
But this one, you can catch it on, I want to say Netflix, but we're going to be watching it on...
I think Netflix, yeah.
Yeah.
But we have it.
Yeah. Like, we have it on 3 different versions, I think. DVD,
and then we have a double DVD something, like, mixed with something else.
It's attached with something else.
Yeah.
So.
I was like, you can never have too many
copies.
That's
like The Darkness or something.
Yeah. Like, you can never have too many copies of Silent Hill.
Oh, why not? You know, because you never know. You never know if one of the DVDs might get scratched. We want to go swap them out. We don't know. So we're going to go ahead and pause it right here. Check this one out. Seriously, if you haven't watched this one, we really do recommend it just from here. If you wait for our recommendations, check it out. This one's a fun one. It's not like people who are purists for Silent Hill are going to have fun with it anyway, because if you're a purist about Silent Hill, you're going to enjoy it.
I am excited, though, because
you're a person who can have a fun time.
They are going to make the second one, and Christoph Gans is actually doing it again. So
yeah, which compared to that one that had Malcolm McDowell and all the weird shenanigans-y stuff.
Yeah, it was weird.
It didn't know where it was going to go. But anyway, we're going to pause it here, and we'll be right back.
Honey, sometimes when you go to sleep, you talk about a place.
I don't remember.
Can you tell me the best way to get to Silent Hill?
Why do you want
to
go there?
On April 21st. Mother! A mother looking for answers.
Shit!
Will discover a truth.
Hey!
Where's my child?
Only the demon knows where she is.
Too terrifying to believe.
What's happening?
Who are you?
I am the Reaper.
Silent Hill.
And we're back.
We are back.
So, yeah, I keep forgetting that there is a chunk of this movie just central. Like, it's probably, what, a good, like, maybe 10 minutes in there where nothing happens?
Yeah, probably like 10 or 15 minutes. Maybe 20.
This is an interesting film. We do start out outside of Silent Hill, which is different from the video game. In the sense that we get a little bit more background. We see the parents, Rosa and Christopher Da Silva. Rose and Christopher Da Silva freaking the fuck out because Sharon Dunn got out of the house again. Because apparently she do that.
She sleepwalks.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they live on like the weirdest nature preservy style house. Like, it's this gigantic house that has to be on top of a hill, right next to a creek, next to a busy highway that has trucks going like 85 miles an hour,
that ends in a waterfall.
Yeah, like, and not just like look, it's kind of a waterfall, but like a 4-story drop or something like that.
It was huge.
That was a huge waterfall.
Yeah, it was huge.
And, Rose runs around trying to find her. Meanwhile, Sean Bean knows how this is going to go, so he's doing his best not to get killed. But he does almost get gauged in the middle of the highway there. It's just like almost hit by a car and almost hit by another car. Man just can't do anything about it.
I just realized what you said.
Yep. And that's when somehow
Jesus.
Rose is able to see around a gigantic tree up and to the side behind her. Like, it's like the angle makes absolutely no sense, but she is able to view Sharon standing there and, about to take a cliff dive off into the water. Into the rocks below, let's be honest. It was just flat rocks there. Thankfully, Rose is able to tackle Sharon, drops her down, and this is what causes the most, like, I get it that she's like a 10-year-old in this one, but she does overact like a lot of the Silent Hill! Silent Hill! And I was like, uh-huh. That's thank you. Thank you, Sharon.
Good Lord, you were...
Silent Hill!
You were vicious.
California!
Ugh, no. Anyways, so that happens. And then Sharon, you know, wakes... Well, doesn't wake up. Does she even wake up at that point? Anyways, no. They keep mentioning Silent Hill. And so Rose decides to take it upon herself to go to Silent Hill with Sharon. And Chris has no idea.
It is such a funny little bit because we shoot over to, like, we transition to this part where Rose and Sharon are sitting under a tree and Sharon's drawing a picture and then starts meowing for some reason. And then...
Because she drew a cat.
Meow. Did she draw a cat? I thought she drew, like, a family.
There was a cat in there.
Oh, maybe she was trying to get a cat. Maybe that was the whole... Maybe. Like, she's like, look, Mom, if we had a cat, I wouldn't sleepwalk as much.
She goes, meow, 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 meow.
And I was like, what's going on? And this is where we get the, I don't remember what Silent Hill is, Mama. And I was like, well, that's fine, baby. We'll go ahead and find out. And we do know that they're going to find out because Rose has dragged Sharon away from the house and is balls deep in West Virginia at this point, to the point where I think it's the town, like, right next to Silent Hill. Which causes...
Brahms?
Yeah, Brahms. And we only know that because...
Except Sybil actually calls it Brahms.
Brahms, Brahms. But we do know that it is the place very close to it because that's where Chris gets let out later on. Sean Bean's character gets let out right next to the same place that they are having their little moment there.
Yeah.
And this is... I'm like, okay, we're just going to go ahead and do that, huh? And she gets a call from, you know, Sean Bean, and Sean Bean's like, honey, you can't do this. He's like, no, it's not helping. The drugs aren't helping. The doctor's not helping. I'm taking her to the town of Silent Hill. She's from West Virginia. It's obviously the Silent Hill in West Virginia. Therefore, she's going to West Virginia.
He actually cuts off her credit cards first, and she's in the gas station. And that's whenever she calls him, and she's like, why'd you cut off my credit cards? He's like, what are you doing? So she...
That's right. She does hang up on... Like, she hangs up on his call because he's looking for them.
Yeah. So, you know, Sybil is actually there already. She sees some awkwardness going on between Sharon and Rose. And then just decides to take it upon herself to just... You know, follow them.
And, like, pull them over and turn on... Like, because I don't think... I get, you know, doing the credit cards, shutting down the credit card thing. I don't get, like, I'm going to send out an APB for my wife, you know, and... Because they're not having a custody dispute.
Even then, she didn't even know about the credit cards because she never went inside.
No, and the only thing I can think of is that he had reported the car stolen or something like that.
Which
he
didn't.
Yeah, we have nothing on there.
The only reason why she followed him is because later on we find out that some crazy person stole a kid, threw the kid in a mine shaft in Silent Hill, and then Sybil stayed with him. But even then, that's not really justification for her to, like, immediately start following them.
And she didn't like it was because Sharon was distraught over having drawn over her own pictures that she had done. She was upset about it. And so I guess imagine some kid... Like, angry that mommy wouldn't get them an Xbox or something like that. And Sybil just goes full on, like, just starts beating hell out of him in the middle of it. It's like, hey, ma'am, what are you doing here?
It was
bike copping it all over the place.
It was really weird. So, Sybil ends up following, following Rose and Sharon because they are on their way to Silent Hill. She ends up turning her lights on, Rose pulls over, and then this is whenever she sees the Silent Hill sign, which is, you know, a hop, skip, and a jump away, apparently. So she immediately takes off, which is at this point fleeing from the police.
Yes.
So after this, I can see why she would try to, you know, arrest
her.
But, so she, you know, is zooming away, and zooms so much that she goes through a chain link fence, goes across a bridge, and almost hits another child who is walking across the street, who looks strikingly similar to Sharon.
And we find out the reason why that was because of Dickory.
So they end up crashing. Everybody ends up crashing, which we actually don't find out that Sybil crashes until a little bit later. But Sharon and Rose both hit their heads and they are both out.
Now, this is the sequence that is pretty much the one for one for the opening sequence of Silent Hill. In the video game Silent Hill, Harry Mason awakens after a crash. Now, he also saw Sybil as they were driving, but he almost hits a girl. Crashes, gets out, can't find his daughter, and walks around in Silent Hill, the town, we have the same sequence where it's like he walks around, can't find her, thinks he sees something, goes down an alleyway, pulls out his lighter, and then finds the dead body that's strapped to the wall, although in this one, I think it's one of the minor folk.
Yes.
Who's still quite alive, yeah, and eviscerated. And that's when the babies come out. The terrifyingly twisted babies, which are a lot more freaky looking when they showed, like, the person walking around in the rubber. Mm-hmm. That was a little much. I was like, okay, that's
freaky.
And
she was a tiny little lady, too. Yep.
That was just, ah. And there's like 100 of them in this one. In the game, there's like 5. And you just can't do anything. You just get your ass beat until you get knocked out. And then you wake up in the diner. In this one, there's like a billion of them. And they're all like trying to tear apart Rose, who pushes open a door, falls down.
It's screaming bloody murder. And then, you know, miraculously, they all turn to ash and disappear.
Yeah, because we've transitioned from light side to dark side Silent Hill. She wakes up and then she walks back to the car.
She is in the diner, though.
I guess she's in a place. She's not in the diner where Sybil finds her in the game. Because Sybil is, like, just hanging out. Like, I guess she got knocked out or something like that, yes, is what they say. It was like, oh, yeah, I got knocked out. It's like, yeah, no, you died. Like, there is a kind of a weird, like, are they alive? Are they dead situation? And it kind of fits with the video game ending, because the bad end is that, yeah, you've been dead this whole time. Mm-hmm. And it was just a death dream. But in this one, I think they really are dead. Like, they're just straight out dead the whole time. Because, especially when you see the dent that Sybil's motorcycle made in the wall there.
She was pretty dead.
It was like, oh no, that lady is just straight out dead.
Yeah. So it's at this point that
this is where we first run into the acid spitter too.
Well, yes, but she goes back to the car.
Yeah.
And then that's whenever she sees Sybil. Sybil's going to arrest her because she thinks that she did something to Sharon. She handcuffs her. And then this is wherever their technology starts going all crazy. And then the acid spitter comes out. The guy who did the acid spitting suit, I watched all the special effects for this movie, like the maid, like how they did it or whatever. And it was so cool because he's a dancer. And so he was able to, like, walk on, like, his ankles. Like, on so the outside of his ankles. Yeah,
yeah, it had the contortionist kind of thing. Yeah,
it was so cool. And so, but the suit that they had him in was just like, it was like a condom. Like, it was just like a straight, like, condom that went over him. I can't even imagine.
Like, it very much looks like that. It is
terrifying.
It also is spitting the acid, which in this one, the town of Silent Hill has a coal fire burning under it, and everything that is falling on them in the game is snow.
Mm-hmm.
And in the game, Silent Hill is a vacation destination. In this one, Silent Hill is a closed down ghost town because of a coal fire that started in the 70s and,
it's still burning.
It's still burning. Yeah.
Which I actually did like that because there is a town like that.
There's several actually. That's the kind of effed up part. The coal, burning underground really does F around with things, and there ain't no way to turn it out. Like, you can't do anything.
Yeah. Cause it's a natural resource that was there long before and it will be there long after.
Well, the reason why is because you can't, there's no way to put that much water down there,
mm-hmm,
to put it out. And, you can't cap enough of the stuff, cause there's always different places for the oxygen to come from. So it will just keep burning. There's literally nothing you can do about it. It's kind of effed up.
So scary.
I mean, it's terrifying, and that's why you have to just, like, ah, nope, we're leaving. You know, everybody leaves. This is when poor Rose is cuffed during this point, and she ditches Sybil, who gets acid to the jacket and helmet, which does start melting through. And that's when Sybil, we find out, is just shooting people right in the face.
Yes.
Just blowing them away. Like she kind of cared like a little bit. She was like, no, stop. Don't do anything. Holy shit. You spit on my face. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
And then she sees that there's like 16 other dudes like on the mountainside.
And she's like, oh shit.
Walking towards her.
Yeah.
Now, admittedly, these things are not walking that quickly. You think that she'd just be able to be like, you know what? I'm just going to go this way. I'm just going to go ahead and follow the lady.
Well, she did run. And we find that out later because this is actually whenever Rose is running. And then at the same time, Chris is dealing with everything in real life or I guess in the real world, alive world, wherever he's talking to the cop.
It's the real world at this point because Silent Hill is its own microcosm. It's got something else going on with it.
Well, it's like, so Chris is dealing with all that and he goes to the town of Brahms and he asks where his wife went and all kinds of other stuff. And he meets the cop because Sybil's missing.
Yes. And the gate to Silent Hill is punched open.
Yes.
So something's happening, although we can't find the car, which I think is interesting to me.
Yes.
Because the car is also dead at this point. It's a ghost car.
The battery died.
Oh, God. But this is the part that I think it was a mistake, was having Chris De Silva, mm-hmm. Slash Harry Mason, walking around in the real world while you have...
Rose in the Silent Hill version.
Yeah, because that point kind of tells you, like, oh, well, you've taken away all the ambiguity. Are we alive? Are we dead? No, they're dead. They've been dead this whole time. There's no...
Well, it's...
The thing is that the cult created their own little pocket of purgatory, and that's what's keeping their souls in there. That's all it feels like at this point.
Well, it's funny because that's not how I thought of it. I just thought that they were in this separate, like, place, like, dimension, Silent Hill, and that they weren't dead, but that they were just in the separate dimension.
They're
like,
in the
same...
Alyssa hate world, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which we do find out about Alyssa, who is Sharon's doppelganger. Alyssa, whatever. Sharon's doppelganger from Dahlia?
Dahlia.
Dahlia Gillespie. I keep saying, because I read it, I want to say Delilah, but it's Dahlia.
Dahlia
Gillespie, who is just... The dirtiest of garbage ladies ever, with the fur on. She's wearing fur.
Oh,
by
yeah,
the way.
She's a very fancy homeless lady.
Yes, and that's when poor Rose is like, "Hey, have you seen this lady?" He's like, "Yes, I have. That's my daughter." Mine. And that's why she's like, "No!" Almost chucks her down into the bottomless gorge.
Well, that's what Dahlia was trying to do.
I guess
Dahlia was trying to push her over, which is why she like throws her down and then runs.
Like, f this noise! But that is the first time that Rose's locket with the little Sharon picture inside of it gets her in trouble. It is not the last. We've got now the bus route,
which is what leads to the school.
To the school. The school part is where we get to run into the first of many, many, many horrors, which is Colin. Good old Molesty Colin.
Yep, the school janitor.
Who done bad touched Alyssa, we find out later on.
Alyssa.
Whatever. I'm going to say it however I'm going to do it. Just whatever. Bad touched the girl who's causing all of this. And is tied up real bad into the girl's... bathroom.
You know what? I don't feel bad for this guy because fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Like, what a sick little shit.
And inside of his mouth, there is the Grand Hotel? Like,
I think it's like a piece of marble or something.
Or something. I thought it was like a whale. Like, it's like, have a whale of a good time at the Grand Hotel. It's like half of a whale.
I think it was just like a piece of paper
or something like that.
I think it was like a piece of marble or something. That's what it looked like anyway.
This is when the alarm goes off. And we had seen a couple of the miners, which I think that is actually a cute thing. I like the miners running around, people wearing the full mine getup because it reminds me, one, a little bit of the respirator, you know, stuff from My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah.
Like those guys. But, like, they've got, like, this weird trash suit thing going on, too, where they're covered in leather. And there's a set of people called the Ghost People in Fallout New Vegas. It's one of the DLCs where you can't kill them, but they're wearing the same thing. And basically what it is that they've been wearing these containment units for so long that they, like, if the containment suit keeps them alive, but if you breach it, they die. Meanwhile, you got these guys who are being kept alive in the Silent Hill, wandering around, having to wear these things for protection, even though they don't really technically need it.
Yeah, they don't actually do anything.
Yeah, especially against the bugs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, and then they have the canary.
Yeah, they have a canary in it, which was the only, you know, if they have a canary, they have established that the canaries, birds are alive mm-hmm. in this thing. Mm-hmm. Multiple birds.
Right.
We didn't have one cat jump scare. No. And there is a cat jump scare in Silent Hill.
No, it's just the bird.
We didn't get a cat jump scare, though. Mm-mm. I'm so disappointed about that. We should have had a cat jump scare. Christoph Gans, whatever. I need you to put in cat jump scares in your new upcoming Silent Hill project. Because, damn it, I need that in a phone call. Like, the phone ringing was the other one that was happening. This is when the Silent Hill becomes the Dark Silent Hill. All three of the miners who were running around get ate by screamy face bug, like, I want to say they're like cockroaches. Or
they're cockroaches. Sea lice. With people faces.
Yeah. And this is where we are introduced to
Pyramid Head
For the first time. Now, Pyramid Head is a guy from the second one. It's weird to see him in this for me, but yes, okay, sure, he is in this because really everybody's going to be like, well, where's Pyramid Head? It's like, well, he's not in the first game. It's like, that sucks. You know, like, are we going to do Silent Hill 2? Please don't do Silent Hill 2. It's depressing. And that's when Pyramid Head starts chasing her. She runs and runs and can't run no more and falls down until she is saved at the last instant by Sybil, who yanks on the handcuffs to pull her in. Thank God she still had those handcuffs. Mm-hmm. They are able to keep the bugs from coming in after them. This is the sequence where we see Sean Bean walking in the same area that that Rose is, and he's like, "No, Rose is here. Rose is here."
You are.
I'm not
getting mixed up.
I'm not
all kinds of stuff.
I'm not.
That was before Sybil saved her. Before Sybil saved her is whenever he ran across and he saw Rose. Yeah, I'm getting to that
point in just a second.
No, you already said that. I'm getting to that.
I am getting there. I promise you. I am getting to the reason why I waited on that, because it was taking forever for this whole situation to happen. Now, the problem with this is that we've got him hanging out with Kim Coates, who is also like, nothing's happening, man. There's nothing on this one. And yes, this is the sequence where Rose freaks out and falls over, and that's when Sybil saves her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you happy now?
Yes.
Okay. What happens now, then?
Pyramid Head tries to come through the door.
Which was actually a really interesting sequence for that one, because Sybil was like, I'm going to hold this against, we're gonna keep nobody from coming into this door. And then a giant knife goes in between the door slats and is like, surprise.
Well, he like punches a hole in the door.
Yeah, with the knife.
Yeah. So he stabs a hole through the door, and then he stabs another hole, and then he like sticks his arm through, because he was like cutting a little triangle so that way he could stick his hand through, so that way he could pull up the metal thing. And then Sybil shoots him in the arm. And then he barely, like, after she's almost out of bullets, he lets go because the
bright... It's daytime.
The daytime Silent Hill is coming.
What a terrible night for a curse. And, we're saved! Yay!
And so this is actually whenever Sybil and Rose start to work together. And Rose tells Sybil about how she needs to find the hotel, because that's where that clue was from the janitor's mouth.
Which, it was like half a piece of paper, though, right?
I think I...
Like, how did they figure that out?
It was
out?
Like a marble thing, but it said hotel on there.
Okay.
Said ND Hotel. Yeah. So, Grand Hotel is, like, really the only thing.
Which, you know, it is explained to us later on that all of these, like, check these different places out. That was set up by the darkness that is in Alessa's heart. That's, you know, showing... Mama Rose, all the sequences of events that led up to the town being damned.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, just, you know, maybe marking something on a map, or even just having the full piece of paper, was just too goddamn hard for the darkness to go ahead and set up. It's like,
Well, she didn't want to make it super easy.
She, like, walked over, she, like, grabbed a hold of, like, the piece of paper for it, it tore wrong, and she's like... I guess I'll just have to do this one. Like, I was going to put the whole thing in Colin's mouth, but I didn't want to. It really is just icky.
I swear I thought it was like a piece of marble or something. Like, it was like like thicker than a paper.
I mean, it doesn't say the Grand Hotel, because it's like that's a lot of letters to be missing.
It says ND Hotel.
I get it.
There's only one hotel in Silent Hill.
I know. I'm just saying, though, it could have been easier for it to be like, look, it's the Grand Hotel.
Anyways, so they go to the hotel. This is actually wherever they find Anna.
Yep. Anna and Dahlia is still there. Yes. Anna is effing around with Dahlia because Anna's an asshole.
Hate Anna. She deserves to get peeled like a banana.
And the interesting thing that easy peeled shrimp. Come on. Because her back is a little twisted in the back.
Oh, yeah. That is true.
Yeah. Look, a banana is wholesome and delicious.
I hate shrimp.
Shrimp, you have to take the poop chute out.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, Anna's full of shit.
Please just. That's gross.
But this is where we get the whole sequence of events for finding out about room 111.
Yes.
Yes. Which is the place of the first burning. Is the first burning, the fathers of my fathers would burn the darkness out of them before the darkness came. And I go, huh, that's not good.
Which is, you know, of course, where they took Alessa. So Rose figures this out, breaks into the room. It is so, like, huge and screwed up. Like, it looks like they went to a totally different building.
They did, actually.
To do that. She jumped across the thing, right? Yeah, that's right. So she jumped across to another building. And then this is wherever she finds the remnants of, you know, Alessa's burning. And she sees the darkness there, but, of course, the darkness looks just like, you know, Sharon. Yeah. So she's like, look, Mom, I'm burning. And everything torches up, and she's like, holy shit. Sybil saves her, more or less. This is actually whenever the darkness comes back, right? Is that right? Is this whenever the darkness comes back?
This is, from what I remember, they go outside because the alarms go off.
Yeah. So the darkness is coming back.
They see the birds flying. Well, okay. Yeah. The transition is happening. Yeah. The dark Silent Hill. They run, they get distracted. Dahlia is walking down the stairs. Anna is still being an asshole. And that's when
Dahlia sticks pyramid head on Anna.
Well, I think what she was doing in this one was doing the, cause Christabel does the same thing to them. It's the evil eye. It's to turn evil.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And that's what happens. Cause Dahlia does a little turn evil, you know,
I thought she was
like double finger point thing going
pointing
on.
Pointing at her, like, get her right there.
I could be, or maybe it was just like, get thee behind me, Satan. And unfortunately, Satan went behind her as Pyramid Head and then grabs a hold of poor Anna. And then, as stated repeatedly, proceeds to tear the clothes off, then the skin off, and then slap the skin up against the wall, which was hilarious because the door is closing. Sybil and Rose are able to run inside, but he throws it right at the door. So the door stops the skin from going through, but not the blood. So it's just like splash. Ugh. Like they were stuck in the splash zone at SeaWorld.
And they're like, ugh. And it hits them right in the face.
The parishioners who are stuck in the church who are praying for the darkness to go away are not happy about the outsiders being in their midst, nor the fact that the poor Anna gets murked in like 5 seconds. Now, my question is, are people being born during this period? I don't think they are.
No.
I think, yeah, okay,
because they're dead.
Yeah, because Anna is just terrible. But there are a couple of people who have brown hair. Everybody else has gray hair, which I thought was interesting. They basically are like, hey, you, what do you want? And she's like, I want to go find my daughter. She's somewhere. They're like, it's probably in the heart of the darkness down at the hospital. We'll totally take you there. And as they begin to walk there, we see that the locket has fallen on the ground. Christabel, the leader of all the cultists, takes it, does not look at it, but she's apparently apologizes later on for being a magpie, basically. And they just are scavengers, so she was stealing the pretty thing. And I will say that that was at least nice of them to have done.
Well, it's funny because she goes from being very protective, I guess, of her weird cult following to relatively decent, and then she fucking flips
absolute
and just goes fucking bonkers, goes bonkers.
It goes bad, but that happens at the hospital. We see the dumbest situation that ever happens in there. For some reason, instead of taking the map off of the wall, Rose decides to memorize it, which I think is funny because if I remember correctly, the way that it works in the hospital is you get out of the elevator, you go down one, and then you go up one. That's all you had to worry about. Like, it wasn't, it's like, you know, it's not like the Mall of America. It's not like, oh man, this is totally built like a maze. It's really hard to get to. No, it's a hospital. It should be, it's like easy to get to everything just in case you need to.
Well, but she's like left, right, left, left, right, left. And up, the whole up, time, down, Sybil's, down,
left, right, left, right.
The whole time, Sybil's like, please don't do this. Like, she's driving you crazy. And she's just like, let me do this.
Shut up.
And so this is whenever Cristobal is like, I don't expect y'all to return. By the way, here's your necklace back. Holy shit.
Is that a picture of Sharon?
That's a picture of Alessa.
Oh, God. Witch.
The demon. You are a witch.
Pointy fingers at them.
Kill her. Kill her. And so they the stupid little minor people decide to try to kill them. This is whenever Sybil takes it upon herself to protect Rose.
She whips out an asp and starts beating the living shit out of everybody.
I mean, she kills one guy. She like flat out like brains him.
Brains him in the back. And then for some reason, instead of getting into the elevator and pulling the chalk out that was holding it open, she grabs a hold of it from the outside and says, no. You go do it. You save your daughter.
Technically, if she had done that, would they both have gotten in there safely?
Absolutely. Because the elevator only works if the darkness allows it. Right. And the darkness wants Rose there.
Well, yeah, but not Rose and Sybil.
We don't know that.
That is true.
Yeah, it could be that the darkness wanted to hang out with Sybil. Well, I mean, Sybil's a very nice lady. Well, we don't know. So Sybil, she's a cool chick.
Sybil ends up getting beat almost to death. Hear a lot of, like, cracking and stuff as they're beating the shit out of her. And then the elevator goes all the way down to the darkness's level. And this is whenever we see the nurses, the sexy nurses.
Yes, we transition back to Dark Silent Hill. So everything is all goopy and nasty. And we see the sexy, sexy nurses, which are also a holdover from 2. Because, damn, that guy was horny.
I do love the way that they did their costumes, though, because it's all latex. Their dresses are latex. Like,
the nice part to me, though, is that they all, they didn't skimp on it. They didn't do, like, you know, weird shapes, or they didn't put, mm-mm, like, you know, half arms or do it. No, it was all sexy nurses all doing the creepy jitter bug thing that they did.
And the popping. That's one thing that really got to me whenever I first watched it. There was a lot of popping in it. And they had them all, like I said, I watched special features or whatever, and they wanted them all to look like a pack of wolves. Like, they all just, like, moved at the same time, and, like, they just hunted all at the same time. It was really cool.
I did like that Rose was able to distract them easily with the lantern at the ground, which I thought was basically the thing they should have done in the first place. It does, you know what it reminds me of, though, is all of those games nowadays that come out that are like, the mannequin is chasing you and you have to look at them before they, you know, otherwise they'll do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, I just turned the light on and I pointed over that way and they just walked over to it. And they weren't stabbing and hacking and slashing at that point. They were just like checking it out. It's like, wow, look, a light. That's a really cool light.
It's so dark down here.
It's, you know what it reminded me of was like dudes who like you congregate around a car. It's like, oh wow, look at this guy. Like, were the nurses doing that? It's like, wow, that's a Rayovac 1270. It's like with the original housing? Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, this is where we're introduced to the actual Alessa, because we have Rose walking into B151, which is the burn unit room where Alessa has been hanging out since the 1970s.
Because it's been 30 years.
Yes. Her hate has kept her alive. It also has warped the power around her. We see everything that has happened to her, which was the molestation, the fact that the community didn't like her because Dahlia would not tell everybody who the husband was.
Who her father was. Yeah. Not necessarily her husband.
Or
her
father. The father was.
Yeah.
Because, so, but
we most don't, likely it was an affair or something.
Yeah. The interesting thing to us is that we don't get the indication that this is a devil. You know, she was inseminated by demons or anything like that. It's just the fact that, you know, she had sex out of wedlock, and that's why they're like, obviously the child's a witch, we need a purifier.
Mm-hmm.
Which they steal away young Alessa and torture for probably like an hour, to the point where we are reintroduced to the cop, who has said, or says later on to
Chris,
that a lot of people in Silent Hill deserve death. We have seen a couple of situations where Chris has just been walking around. He did have to break into a place to find...
He didn't have to, but yes, he broke into like the library, I think, or something.
He got in there and he found Alyssa's photo. Alyssa, whatever. not Sharon's photo. And went down to the orphanage and started accosting the shit out of a nun until the cop showed back up, which I thought was really funny. And this is where we get the reveal that the cop burned his hands. And then we see in the flashback with Alyssa, the cop burning his hands to get the girl out of the torch room, the burning rack. You know, there were good people like you, Mom, you know, says the darkness.
And then they ended up taking her to the burn unit where she did not do well at all.
Yeah.
And
she just lived. And then she hated.
Just, yeah.
She hated just so much she burned out the eyes of poor Lisa, who we do not get introduced to. But she is a Lisa from the first game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who basically also just starts dribbling blood and falling apart later on.
Yeah.
But she really does want to have sex with Harry. But you don't want to do that because it's bleedy. It's nasty. Everybody's just mushy. Ew. Just all the blood everywhere.
Anyways, so Lisa doesn't want to have sex with anybody in this movie.
She doesn't even want to be seen.
She doesn't. So the darkness is telling her all about this stuff, and she tells her overall plan, which was, I really need you to get me into their chapel.
Yep.
Because that's the only way that I can get in there.
Their powers are enough to keep me out, but I can't get out. I'm going to hide inside of you. Give me a hug. And that's when the darkness hugs Rose and then gets subsumed into her.
We get back to the chapel, yep. And then this is where Sybil actually gets burned, which is awful.
This is when Nicolas Cage comes in and says how to get burned, and then we draw him a photo. And, oh, okay, that's how, and he leaves.
What?
Never mind. Anyway, so this is when we see Dahlia is getting the shit kicked out of her. The cultists have chased down Dahlia because they went to Dahlia's house. That's where Sharon has been hanging out this entire time.
Yes.
Because I love how 70s everything is in there, too. The teeny tiny TV, all the stuff on the walls. The miners and everybody take everybody out. They force Sharon to watch the burning of Sybil. That's when Rose shows up. If she had shown up about 5 minutes before, maybe everybody could have been survived. But no, we don't want to have that. We want to have a dead Sybil because somebody in the game forgot to feed her the red juice and save her. That way, they don't get the best ending. That's why we get the shitty ending out of this one because, you know, obviously Christoph Gans was playing the game. And he does admit to playing the game, but he did it poorly. So, you know, great. We get the bad ending, and not the alien ending, which would have been a hell of a lot of fun, too. This is when poor Rose starts trying to make a concerted effort trying to get everybody to come back to the way of the light.
To understand that Christabella's fucking bonkers, and yeah. She's burning little kids.
This is wrong. You are lying to yourselves.
And Christabella's like, nope, none of that. And so she stabs her right in the heart.
Yep.
And Rose falls over, and Christabella gets really worried. I do like this part, because she gets worried that they're going to, like, freak out. Her parishioners or whatever are going to freak out.
She drops the knife, and she's holding her hands up. It's like, all right, everybody. Look, I had to totally do that.
She's a blasphemer. Blasphemy? And they're like,
am I right?
Blasphemer! Yeah. Oh, she's a blasphemer. She's like, hey.
Yeah.
And so this is actually whenever the darkness starts pouring out of Rose and starts melting everything.
Yep. It melts the little burning, like, centerpiece thing, even the big fire.
Or whatever it is.
It's not even a pulpit because it's sunken in. It's like, kind of like the
living rooms? The sunken in living rooms?
To me, it reminds me a lot of the old style Grecian amphitheaters where everybody kind of sunken in so that if you're in the center, you can kind of let everybody hear you. In this one, it was to set up a little fireplace in the center of the house, which I don't remember if they had a chimney on the top of that. So all that smoke is way up in there. So yay.
Yeah, that's true.
The blood starts gushing out of poor Rose hard, just floosh, like she's getting held down and squeezed like a Kool-Aid jammer.
Like a Capri Sun.
Yes, and he, just with an angry 8-year-old just squeezing it all over your furniture. That's when we see Alyssa in the bed of barbed wire. climbing up from the bottom of the pit. That's when...
I guess being levitated, right? Because she's stuck
there. No, she's... The barbed wires are pulling her up.
Okay, got it. Yeah, darkness is climbing up, yes, though.
Yes, darkness is having to haul her ass up a fucking... That was the funniest part, because you got an 8-year-old having to climb up like 40 stories on a ladder. She's like, Jesus Christ, that's why it took so long, because she's just like, she's been climbing up on that thing. She's like, crap, oh my God, it's like, hurry the fuck up. And she had to do it after the barbed wire chick came up, because the barbed wire chick was climbing up with all over the place. It was like a full, it's like shoving steel wool through a pipe and then having to like have an ant climb up after it. That's how it was. It's like all just the angles and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the barbed wire starts getting a little frisky, and the reason why it does the whole penetration part,
mm-hmm,
is because we constantly hear from Christabel, who Christabel is Christabel Gillespie, I think. She's Dahlia's sister. And she will not shut up about purity. So it decides to take away her purity. And then
with barbed wire,
rip through her like, I mean, it's like
a
knife
through butter. I mean, it is like a lot of, it's a lot of.
It reminded me of like putting minnows on a fish hook.
It's a lot of puncturing.
Yes, and she, to the point where it starts like going really fast, like it was doing one of those like barbed wire chainsaw things, where it's like trying to cut through a tree. Have you ever seen that, where they got like the wire that's cutting through something? Or like, think of like a pipe wire where you're like,
I know what it looks like.
Yeah. So it goes through it. It's just like bleeding all over the place. And of course, little darkness, Alessa is dancing in the rain. Everybody else is getting torn apart. Rose gets a kill. She picks up the knife that she was stabbed with, goes upstairs to save Sharon. And a dude runs at her. She holds out the knife like, it was the funniest thing. She T-Rexes her arms. She brings them in. She's got the knife kind of pointed out, just a smidge. Now, she's been, like, dealing with all this shit this entire time.
She's like, oh, shit, like, stop.
She's like, I've got a knife. And the guy rams his throat into it. It's like, oh, shit.
I actually like that part, because she didn't want to kill anybody. She was protecting herself.
I don't know. She was scared shitless, and all these people are stupid. The other guy gets torn in half. They're able to get Sharon off of the ladder, and that's it. Unfortunately, Sharon was told repeatedly to keep her eyes closed. She didn't. The darkness walks up and stares at her, and then until the darkness is no longer there. We awaken in Light Silent Hill, we guess, but it's still snowing with all the ash. And they leave. They go home. Chris is inconsolable because he's unable to get a hold of her. But, you know, he feels like they may be inside of the house, and the movie ends.
Oh my gosh.
Am I wrong? Did I skip something?
That was such a bad way to end.
Did I skip anything?
No.
It was factually true.
Uh-huh. Anyways.
You know it was.
So, what are you going to rate it?
I'm going to give this one a 7. It's a solid 7 movie. It is not a, let's watch it, you know, in, I'm not going to give it an award, is my thing. This is your 7s. This is your TBS movie. This is, you have no, yeah, you put it, if it's on TBS, you'll watch it. It's not Shawshank. You're not going to, like, not change the channel midway through. Well, but you'll put it on if you're, like, cleaning or cooking or something like that.
Well, it's funny, because I've never seen Shawshank, so.
Oh, we'll watch Shawshank. That's interesting. All right. Oh, no. It's a good, solid movie. We'll watch that and then The Last Castle.
Okay. So, I'm actually going to... Are you going to give it a what? 7 what?
I'm going to give it 7 maps stuck to a wall that you don't pull down, even though you should, out of 10, because that would have saved you a hell of a lot of time. And it really doesn't matter, because as soon as she got down into there, there were no walls or doors or anything like that that had any kind of indication as to where they were.
True.
You know, and half of those lefts and rights or whatever may not be there in the normal world.
That is true.
Yeah. What are you going to give?
I'm actually going to give it a, we'll give it a 9 sexy nurses out of 10. Like I said, this is one of my go-to movies, especially for relaxing, which is probably kind of fucked up of me, but I don't care. I really like this movie. So yeah, 9 out of 10 sexy nurses.
I mean, it makes sense, because you've got this whole sequence where you can kind of just check out if you don't need to and keep the movie going, where you don't miss anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole big chunk between... I want to say it's before...
I feel like everything between Chris and the cop
is it doesn't need it to be in there. It detracts from the movie to me
a little bit. Yeah.
I don't really care about Rose being in there. What they did was they amped up Sybil's actions inside of from the game. They amped her up her her running around. They removed a lot of the cult things in the game. The way that it works is Alessa is a there's only one cultist, and that is Dahlia. And Dahlia is trying to summon a god, and she is basically using Alessa to do it. Now, the sequence goes through, Alessa is too strong in mind to have allowed the demon god into her, but her, the trauma of the god going into her and all the other, like, the culty stuff, damages and burns her body. Unfortunately, it does not let her die, because as a host of the demon, the vessel of God, she can't die. So she's just in terrible, terrible agony. Up to the point where she shoots off whatever goodness is inside of her as the baby that ends up being with Harry Mason. Harry Mason is just taking his kid on a vacation, but they end up going to Silent Hill, which has been taken over by the evil spirit of Alessa at this whole point. And you have to do a lot of shit. You have to kill a salamander. I remember that one. There was a freaky deaky salamander. Silent Hill in the game is a lovely resort town.
We're going to play it.
It's a lake. Anyways, it's fun. We're going to play it. Yeah. I don't know.
That is a huge change to the storyline. Yeah, so I can see huge. Why.
And it's a little weird. But I like the stuff that they do with this one. I like Sybil. I think she was great in this one. I'm glad that they did it. I'm glad they stuck with who they had on there, because there's so many different ways that they could have done it in 2006 that would have sucked.
Yeah, true.
And I do like the inclusion of the sexy nurses in Pyramid Head. Pyramid Head's always great to see. And who hates sexy nurses? Not me. That's for one. Even but what about you?
They have no face and are all
you?
Paint.
Yeah, they don't. You know, that in some places, that's a positive. Right? They can't talk. I'm just saying. What about you? Did you like the sexy nurses? Do you love Pyramid Head? Let us know. Reach out to us. ESAT3AM@gmail.com. That's going to be the best way to get a hold of us. You can also get us on Twitter at ESAT3AM, Facebook and Instagram as well. Or you can go to our main website, ESAT3AM.com. And on there, go ahead and click on the voicemail link. Go ahead and leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you.
Yep.
But until next time.
Yep. We'll see you soon. Bye.